Hi, Bob Barney with The Plain Truth today, brought to you by theplaintruth.com. And today what I want to talk to you about is news that happened yesterday. We have it up on The Plain Truth's message board. And that's going to be what I'm talking about today, because there is biblical prophecy that is maybe being fulfilled in our lifetime. And I'm not sure about this, but we're going to go over all the aspects of what happened in the last 2 days and what the Bible has to say about a similar occurrence that is yet to happen. And did it happen? Well, maybe we can investigate that ourselves. But as I always say with this broadcast, is that it is important to realize that the news is also a part of God's world. When you have secular news and it's talking about what's happening in the Middle East or what's happening with this tornado or what's happening in this city, you're only listening to a point of view on man's perspective. And to get the whole news, you really have to know if there's a God perspective to the whole thing. And sometimes there is, and sometimes there's not. But when it concerns the Middle East, when it concerns the area of Jerusalem and the old state of Israel, not the modern state of Israel, but that's also included, and then you need to know what the Bible has to say about the end times and about what we need to look forward to and what certain things could mean. And we're going to talk, like I said, we're going to talk about that today. But there is a verse in the Bible. It's Isaiah 9:21, and it says, Manasseh fights against Ephraim, and Ephraim is against Manasseh. Together they fight Judah. Despite all this, God's anger does not subside, and his hand is ready to strike again. And what does that all mean? Well, if you know who the players are in the Bible, you know what countries are mentioned and the modern names of those countries, this makes a lot of sense what happened in the last 2 days, and I'm going to explain it right now, and I'll play a few updates about Trump blasting Netanyahu and Israel for their strikes in Lebanon. And there is a significance there. And I think a lot of people maybe just miss it and don't understand it because they don't understand the Bible and who the players are. So I'm going to play some short news brief comments before I get into who the players are and explain what is happening, what may be happening, and what the Bible says is going to happen. And it's us to decide, is this starting to be the case or not? I think it's too early to tell, but I think it's the thing we really always have to watch. Watch what's happened in the Middle East, but also watch about specific biblical prophecies that pit the United States of America, England, and the modern state of Israel, which is really should be named Judah because they do not have the right to the name Israel. I'll explain that again for anybody new listening. But I'm going to take some news snippets and play that first, and then we're going to go back and talk about it. Here's Donald Trump attacking Netanyahu and Israel for continuing to strike into Lebanon when he has his so-called peace treaty.
Israel too long, and too many people are being killed. And you don't have to knock down an apartment house every time you're looking for somebody, because there are a lot of people in those apartment houses, and they're not all Hezbollah, that I can tell you. And I suggested to Israel to let Syria take care of Hezbollah. Because to be honest with you, I think they'd do a better job of doing it, signing the agreement, that there was an attack in Lebanon, in Beirut. It was right in, it wasn't like in the southern side, and you know, it was in Beirut. I did not like that. I let them know that. I didn't like it, not at all. But I think that Syria, you know, he's pulled that country together amazingly quickly.
Syria is a terrorist state. I told you that in a former thing. This president has gone off the deep end. I've been actually trying to tiptoe around things for the last year, but this president is not the same as the Donald Trump 1.0. I voted for him 3 times. This has been a disastrous presidency. It puts Jimmy Carter and Barack Obama and Joe Biden up on the top floor compared to what he's done. And I want to explain what he's done to Israel, and it's a biblical prophecy probably coming true, which is very, I never believed it would be Donald Trump. I believed it would be, you know, Kamala Harris or Joe Biden or Barack Obama, honestly, Muslim Barack Obama, that I thought would slice Israel down the back. But, you know, this is the same guy who said he would annihilate all of Iran, right? But he says that Israel don't have a right to annihilate the people sending missiles into their country. I got a news for you. One airplane was shot down a week ago, and he was going to annihilate Iran over it. But he tells Netanyahu, take the missiles coming in and forget about it. Don't worry about your people being killed. Like I said in a show last week, I have a very good friend now. He's a jeweler who does some work for me in Jerusalem, and his life has been hell. How would you like for the last 100 days to spend almost every night in a fallout shelter underground and many days? He sent me a video how the air raids go off in broad daylight and you see a crowded street, and within 2 minutes, the street is empty because there's fallout shelters everywhere in Israel, and they run into them with their gas mask. You think Americans would put up with that? You think if Mexico was shelling America in Houston and Dallas, that we would put up with it? You think Donald Trump would put up with it? He wouldn't. And here's the same guy, like I said, just yesterday said they're going to sign the deal. There's a peace treaty. They're the greatest people now on the face of the earth. We're going to give them $300 billion. Did you hear that? $300 billion. And Vice President Vance did not say that was wrong. He said, yes, that could happen. That's what he said yesterday. And this same president, 8 years ago, 7 years ago, I guess now, said that the $1.7 billion in cash that Barack Obama gave to the Iranians was a horrible deal. $1.7 billion. Well, we're going to start out with $30 billion in the next few weeks, and then we're going to do $300 billion in the next few years. And Vance tried to play it off like it was the Arabs going to pay for it, but you know that's not the case. We're going to pay for it like we pay for everything else. But now I'm going to get back and play or go into the players so you understand who the players are, and then I'm going to reread that chapter in Isaiah. By the way, probably 75 to 85% of the prophecies of Isaiah have not yet occurred. That's something that you should be aware of, that mostly what you read in the book of Hosea and Isaiah have not yet occurred. And both of those prophets are talking about the United States of America. So let's get into who is the United States of America with the identity of the number 13? Who are they in the Bible? I say they're the most talked about nation in the Bible, along with Great Britain, who is our brother, according to the Bible. And I'm going to read you out of Genesis a prophecy concerning the two greatest nations that would ever be on the face of this earth. Way back some 3,500 years ago in Genesis 48, the patriarch Jacob, who was renamed Israel, that is an important thing, he had a wrestling match with God, and he actually beat God, held him down. I'm sure God made it happen, but it was a man he was wrestling. It turns out, if you read the scripture well and you understand what's being said, he was actually wrestling with the God who became Jesus Christ, who just happens also to be the Lord of the Old Testament, the God who created you and me, Adam and Eve, all this world, the universe, was not God the Father. You can read that in the first chapter of John, the Gospel of John, that the personage of the Godhead, the being that created everything, including humankind, and the same being who appeared to Moses, who appeared to David, who wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger, is the part of the Godhead, or the personage of the Godhead, who became Jesus Christ as a man walking on this earth. That's just something that most churches just simply doesn't teach. But after Jacob became an old man, he found out that his lost son he thought was dead, Joseph, was now like a pharaoh in Egypt, a very powerful man. And he went down there to live, and we all know the story how the Israelites lived in Egypt for some 400 years before they were taken captives, basically, and turned into slaves into that time. And then Moses, with the help of God, who was Jesus Christ, by the way, freed the people from the Egyptian slavery and went to Mount Sinai, got the Ten Commandments. But anyway, before all that happened, there was a person named Jacob, and he had 12 sons. And the Bible is clear that the 12 sons became 12 separate nations. And when Jacob is blessing his son Joseph's two grandsons, Manasseh and Ephraim, he said something very peculiar that should be noted. When he went to Joseph and he was on his, really on his deathbed, and he went into Joseph's two sons, Joseph placed a younger son on the left side, so Jacob would bless the older son with his right hand and the younger son with the left hand. And that is because the older son gets a double special blessing and the younger son does not. But Jacob crossed his hands and put his right hand on the younger son, who was Ephraim, and blessed that son, and saying, basically, first of all, he says, I am going to adopt these two sons as my own. The rest of Joseph's children can be his, but these two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, will be mine. So the 12 nation tribe of Israel becomes 13 nation because Joseph becomes two nations, and the younger one becomes the 13th nation. Think of that number 13. Most people think it's an unlucky number. Well, if you really know your Bible, is a very lucky number when it comes to America, is it not? So anyway, he says, when he adopted these two sons, he said, let my name be on them. So the two sons, and any biblical encyclopedia will admit this. They're not going to admit everything I'm going to say, but they will all admit that Jacob adopted Joseph's two oldest sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, or Manasseh and Ephraim, really, the oldest and the younger, next younger one. And he said, let my name be on them. So wherever the tribes of Joseph went, those two sons, grandsons of Jacob, wherever they went, they owned the name of Israel. And you can prove that. If you have a Bible with a map, with maps on the back of it, open up your Bible and look at the kingdom where Jerusalem is, where the Jews lived. And it's called Judah. Judah, Jews. That's where you get the name Jews from. They were the kingdom of Judah. You know, under King Saul, the first king of Israel, a united kingdom, and boy, that name should mean something to some people. England themselves calls themselves the United Kingdom. They get it from somewhere. And when David becomes the next king, then Solomon, and then his son Jeroboam, who ticks off 10 of the 12 tribes, or 13 tribes by then. And so the tribe of Joseph and a lot of other tribes like Reuben and Gideon and Dan and Naphtali and Asher, they all form their own kingdom to the north. And look at your Bible map. Don't listen to me. Look at the Bible map. It will say Kingdom of Israel. And where the Jews were, it will say the Kingdom of Judah. The modern day Israeli nation has no right to that name. They're Jews, and they should be calling their nation Judah. And do you know, in 1948, when they came up with the name, many, many real Orthodox Jews rebelled against that name, and they do to this day, because they knew their name was really Judah. And many very Orthodox Jews who believe in British Israelism, and there's quite a few that do, understand that the name Israel belongs to Joseph's tribe, which is not found in Palestine to this day. And what happened was the northern tribe of Israel, the 10 tribes made up, like I said, Dan, Reuben, Simeon, Zebulun, Asher, those tribes were conquered by the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrian Empire is, in the Bible, the only nation that calls their homeland the fatherland. And you should know who else in modern history calls their homeland the fatherland. Most nations call their homeland the motherland. But the Germans, very warlike people like the Assyrians, calls their homeland the fatherland. So did the Assyrians. Well, to get through the mud of all this real quickly, the Assyrians are the modern day Germanic people. They captured the northern 10 tribes of Israel. They brought them over into what is modern day Iraq. And then Babylon, which is modern day Iran, got very powerful and kicked Assyria out of the region. The Assyrians went up through what is called the Caucasus Mountains. That's where we get the name Caucasian from, because the Assyrians and the Israelis are Caucasian. They're white. They're not Semitic. They really are from Shem, but they're not the same as the tribes around, like the Amorites and Hittites and the Jezubites and all these other so-called Semitic tribes. They really were black tribes, but that's another story. But anyway, they go through the Caucasus Mountains and they go into Western Europe. And there is a passage in the Bible that wherever Dan went, they named the area after their father Dan. So in Hebrew, Dan does not have a vowel. So Dan can be pronounced Din, Dan, Don, Dipe. You put in a vowel. Well, the first thing you get to out of the Caucasus Mountains is the Danube River, River of Dan. Then you go to the Dnieper, River of Dan. Then you go to the modern day land called Denmark. Now, we call it Denmark, but get a bottle of liquor from what we call Denmark and see how what they call their name and how they spell their country. They spell it Danmark, D and an A with two dots over it, and Mark, the Mark of Dan. That country knows who they are. They are the descendants of Dan, and they named their homeland after their father Dan. And so the people that we think as Western Europeans are really lost Israel, the 10 tribes that were taken into captivity. And why they lost their identity, the Bible again gives you the answer. If you do not follow the Sabbath day, and the Jewish nation, the tribe of Judah, the nation of Judah, always followed the Sabbath day. And it's a sign commandment. You find that in Genesis, and you find it in also in the Torah, in Exodus, and you also find it in Leviticus, that the Sabbath is a mark sign. If you continue following the Sabbath day, you will not lose your identity. It marks you as with God. But what happened to the northern 10 tribes? They wanted to get rid of that Jewish, just like the Catholic Church did and most Protestant churches do today. They wanted to get rid of that Jewish influence. So they changed their Sabbath day to Sunday. And they changed the Feast of Tabernacles into Oktoberfest, which was a week or almost a month later, because they did not want to follow the same holidays as the Jews were following in Judah at the temple in Jerusalem. And so what ends up happening is that the tribe of Joseph wanders through Europe, Germany, and they end up in England. And England, Union Jack is the name of their flag, Jacob Jack. The British means the covenant people, Brit. Is the covenant, ish is the people, it's the covenant people. So the younger son is America. That came out of the older brother, England. England is Manasseh. Now, many British Israelites think the opposite. They think England is Ephraim and United States is Manasseh. That's nonsense. We are the 13th tribe. We are the youngest tribe, and we're the 13th tribe. Look at our flag, 13 stripes, the original 13 stars. Look at our symbol, our seal of America, 13 feathers on an eagle, 13 arrows, 13 olive leaves on the branches that the eagle holds, 13 tail feathers. Like I said, 13 is the number of America because it is our identity. We just don't know it. So now we're going to go back to this Isaiah 9:21. So remember, Manasseh is England, and Israel is America, because the tribe of Joseph got the name Israel, but the younger son got it. When Joseph tried to stop his father from getting from giving the great blessing of the greatest country that would ever be on the face of the earth to Manasseh, the older son, but Jacob said, I know what I'm doing, my son, and God is going to bless Manasseh. He's going to make him a commonwealth or a colonizing nation of nations, which the British Commonwealth is all about. All around the world is the British Commonwealth. But the younger son, Ephraim, was going to be the single greatest nation that will ever exist on the face of the earth until the Messiah comes. And that is the United States of America. So now when we go back to the book of Isaiah and we read Manasseh, we could say Great Britain fought against Ephraim, the United States of America, and Ephraim is against Manasseh. The United States of America is against the British people. Think of what's going on here with the Trump administration. Together, that means America and England, they fight against Judah, the Jewish people, what we call the nation of Israel today. Despite all this, his anger, that's God's anger, does not subside, and his hand is ready to strike again. So what we see, and there's other prophecies, by the way, I just got the most obvious one. There's many prophecies that in the end times, the Jewish people in their homeland, which was predicted they would return first to Jerusalem, they would return first, which they have, but when Christ returns, he's going to take in one hand the stick that says Israel, that's the United States and Great Britain, and the stick that says Judah, which is the Jewish people, and he's going to put them together and they're going to be one nation again. One nation of 13 tribes all over again, like under King David. King David actually will be their king, and Christ will be over all as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But the point being is in the Middle East today, in the nation that they call themselves Israel, they're really the nation of Judah. And the Bible predicts a time when the United States, if you know who the players are, when the United States of America will turn on England first, which we are doing under this Trump administration, and we've done it under quite a few. Obama really hated England. He actually took the statue or the bust of Winston Churchill out of the Oval Office and threw it away or whatever he did with it. Sent it back to England, I think he did, because he despised Winston Churchill and the English Empire because he was Kenyan born. I know that's not the right thing to say nowadays, is not politically correct, but the book jacket on his own autobiography said Kenyan-born Senator Barack Obama, and he said it was a misprint. Well, it was a misprint. Did he not read the book jacket of his own book? But anyway, we won't go there. But it turns out that Donald Trump, who wants to this day say he's the savior of Israel, first of all, the savior of Israel is going to be Jesus Christ. It is blasphemy. It is absolutely blasphemy for Donald Trump to say he is the savior of anybody, because he's not. The only savior I have is Jesus Christ. And any man who wants to say, call himself a savior is really acting like a demon-possessed man, which I starting to believe he's acting like. You heard his words, and there's another quote I want to play from him. If this doesn't upset you, nothing will.
Without us, without the United States, there would be no Israel. Without me, there would be no Israel, because no other president was willing to.
Without me, there would be no Israel. Well, I guess we don't need to read the Bible, because Israel is not going anywhere. This modern state of Judah, which is not really Israel, is not going to be wiped off the face of the earth. They're going to be in a lot of trouble, but they're not going to be wiped off the face of the earth. And no president of the United States, including this guy who thinks he's Caesar, you know, Caesar is 666, but Donald Trump wants to be the Antichrist maybe, but he ain't, because he's not in the right place. That's coming out of Central Europe, the Holy Roman Empire. But the truth is, there is no president of the United States that is saving Israel or the nation of Judah, which is calling themselves Israel. It's not going to happen. They're not going to be replaced. They're not going to be removed. They're not going to be destroyed, because the God of the Bible says they're not going to be destroyed. Before that happens, Jesus Christ is coming to save them. But I'll tell you what will happen to the United States of America, to England, to Europe, to Russia, and to everyone else. We know that Israel, well, I'm going to call them Israel. That's what you guys, that's what they want to be called today. I'll call them Israel, but I'll say Israel, who's really the Jews, have the H-bomb. They have the atomic bomb. They most definitely have the H-bomb, probably many of them. And if they are on the brink of collapse, if a lot of rockets come to them or nuclear bombs come to them, as Trump just alluded to, it won't be the President of the United States that retaliates and saves them. Israel will nuke everybody around them. They are not going to go through another Holocaust. It's not going to happen. They're not going to lay down their lives like I think a lot of Americans and a lot of Jew-hating Americans hope happens. They want to see the Jewish state destroyed. That's where Tucker Carlson's coming out of, because they're anti-Semitic. They don't even understand the Bible. Tucker Carlson thinks he understands the Bible. Then he doesn't even know that Judah plays an important role in the reunification of Israel. Again, in the book of Ezekiel, you can go there. You can do a Google search real quick, or any search you want, and put Judah, Israel, one stick. And it's going to get to the verse in Ezekiel that God, Jesus, takes one stick called Judah and one stick called Israel, which is the United States, England, and the other eight tribes out there, and he's going to stick them together and fuse them together, like weld those that stick together into one stick, and they're going to become the nation of Israel again, with King David as their king, and Jesus, of course, over all nations of the world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No president of the United States, no Donald Trump, no one, no human being is anybody's savior. It's just that simple. And to arrogantly make statements like this man is making, when he himself, by the way, was saying that if Iran doesn't sign any peace deal that he dictates to them, he's going to wipe the country off the face of the earth, and he has the nerve to say that Israel is overreacting, when every single night some 6 to 7 million people are living in fallout shelters. You tell me that would happen in America, and you'd see what would happen in America. If that would happen in America and the president did nothing about it, they would march to the White House, they tear down that flimsy wall, they'd go into the White House, and they would lynch whoever is president. That is what would happen if America was facing what the Jewish people in Israel is facing today.
Like I said earlier, President Johnson once said when he was being advised to mow down the protesters out in D.C., he said if he did something like that, they would storm the White House walls, they'd go in there and lynch them all. And that is what will happen to any president that would allow the United States of America to be shelled mercilessly every single night with rockets and do nothing about it. And yet, this president is expecting Israel, the state of Israel, the Jewish state of Israel, to do. And it's unconscionable. And it's because he wants to have a victory, because he got into a war that was unplanned with a Secretary of Defense. He's not a Secretary of War because it's not legal to be called that, just to let you know that. That was absolutely not up to the job. They got into a war, they thought it was another Venezuela. And they found out the Iranians could kick our ass, which they have done. Now, I'm not saying we couldn't win the war if we had the will, but you have to have a president that has a plan. You have to have a president that has allies. You have to have a president who has the nation behind him. You have to have a president who has most of Congress behind him. He has nothing. He has nothing but arrogance and surrounded by stupid yes people advisors. Well, that's what I got to say today. I believe, and we can talk about this at a later time, but I think you're seeing a prophecy coming true. I hope we change direction here real soon, but I see a president of the United States for the very first time getting ready to side with Arab terrorists over the Jewish nation called Israel. It's very disturbing. And I think we're seeing Bible prophecy starting to work out. I'll say one last thing real quickly. I thought 45 years ago, 47 years ago, when I started believing what I did, I was living in the end times. Then as you mature and you read more and more and more, I didn't believe we were. I believed it was going to be in a future date. I still somewhat believe that. But what I've seen in the last 90 days, I'm really questioning it. This is Bob Barney for The Plain Truth Today, saying thank you for listening. Bye-bye.